owner of switching your prescriptions and saving some money. That's because Walgreens makes it easy to switch and save with copays as low as $0 on select Medicare Part D plans. Just bring us your prescriptions and we'll do the rest. Switch to save even more today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
Evening on a Monday evening, February 23rd, last Monday of the month, and we are glad that you are with us this evening. This is Kent Heaton. I'm with the North Valley Church of Christ, and this is Bible Talk. And Bible Talk is a live program brought to you by the North Valdosta Church of Christ, right down here in the downtown area of Valdosta. The studios are downtown here at 92.1 FM. And we're glad that you are listening in this evening. Hope that you will continue to listen for the next hour as we talk about the Bible together. This is a live program, and it's a live call-in program. You will be invited to call in with your questions or comments about the program as we talk about the Bible together. The North Valdosta Church of Christ is located at 4313 North Valdosta Road, 1 mile east of I-75, exit 22, just down from the Smith Northview Hospital. We invite you to visit with us this Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for a time of worship that we get together and talk about the Bible together. And 10 o'clock is an hour we spend in Bible study. We're going over the Gospel of Luke, and I know that you'll enjoy that great study. And then at 11 o'clock, we have another worship service, and we invite you to come and to visit with us at that time. Also, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we get together for Bible studies. And on Wednesday night, we study what the Bible's about. It's called The Scheme of Redemption. We're talking about the plan that God had for saving mankind. And so we invite you to visit with us, the North Valdosta Church of Christ, again located at 4313 North Valdosta Road. You will receive a warm welcome. And invite you to visit our website. We've got a website at www.northvaldostacoc.com. Easy to remember, northvaldostacoc.com. And again, there you get times of our services, location. There's some sermons and bulletin material there. You can sign up for a Bible correspondence course. It may be that you want to study the Bible in your privacy of your own home and at your own pace. And we've got a couple of Bible correspondence courses that are available. They are free of charge. And you can sign up for those on our website. You can send us questions and comments about the program. And we are glad that you're listening in to this live program as we broadcast here from the studios of 92.1 FM in downtown Valdosta. Remember also that you can listen to this program via the internet with your computer, smartphone, iPad at www.talk921.com. That link is on our website. But to go onto that website of Talk 92.1, there's a couple of places that you can click on to listen with your smartphone, iPad, wherever it may be. But the phone lines are open for you to call in, 229-259-9210. Again, the number, 229-259-9210. This is Bible Talk, brought to you by the North Valdosta Church of Christ. And, as always, good to have Steve Peeler with us from Monticello, Florida. And, Steve, it's good to see you. Good to have you with us again tonight.
Ken, it's good to be back with you. I have missed being in the studio with you the last few weeks, and I'm thrilled to be back here on Bible Talk. And I preach at Monticello Church of Christ in Monticello, Florida. We're at 475 South Jefferson Street, and you can get on our website at MonticelloChurch.com and see the times of meetings, and we would love to have you come and study the Bible with us. Kent, I think something pretty big and great in your life has happened since I've seen you.
We have a new grandson. We have grandchild number. It is that right? I was trying to think.
Oh, yes.
Was there anything else?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, grandson number, grandchild number six. But Zeke Bradshaw Fletcher was born last Tuesday. That's where I was at on Tuesday anyway. And a cute little fella. And he looks just like his poppy, good looking and debonairing, tall and handsome. You know those kind of things. So,
congratulations.
Well, thank you.
What a blessing. That is.
Number six. As I said, it's the truth. We should add grandchildren first, you know. And but we're excited about that. Karen is still up there, kind of smooching the little boy. But we're excited to be the grandparents of Mr. Zeke. And a good shout out on his name. So it's good to have you with us, Steve. Tonight we're going to have a guest, Buddy Mills from Franklin, Tennessee. He's going to be calling in here in just a few minutes. And we're going to be talking about worry-free living, God's perfect peace. Hey, this afternoon I was sitting in my office and I looked over on the hedge and there was a beautiful red cardinal. And a lot of times in the hedge or the bushes that I have in front of my office, they can't see me, but I can see them. Birds get on there, you know, all the time. And you would not believe what I saw. You're not going to believe it. You need to sit down. You need to be ready for this.
Okay, I'm sitting down.
You're sitting down. You ready for this?
Yes.
I looked at the bird, okay?
Okay.
And he was looking at me, but he really couldn't see me because of the glass. He didn't have any worry lines in his head. Do you know that the birds can't frown?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read that in the book somewhere. But it's the truth. Birds cannot frown. They can't. And you know what the Lord said a number of times, actually in Scripture, He uses sparrows and He uses birds. I love birds. I hate snakes, but I love birds. but when you watch the birds and you see how they go about doing everything that they do, they don't have the concerns and worries that we do. And yet the Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tells us that, you know, we need to have that same kind of attitude that they're taken care of by the Lord. We live in a world that is filled with worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going on in the world? And, you know, is the whole world, the sky is falling kind of philosophy, you know, that everything is just really in kind of a mess. And it's sad that we can't learn at least from the animals, and particularly we can't learn from the Word of God. And I think it's a great subject that you suggested, if I might say, and I appreciate that so much, is to talk tonight about worry-free living. Number one, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to find out how.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, we have to find out the right source to be able to do this, of live without worry and find the peace of God that passes. Well, there's no understanding it. It's just a
beautiful thing.
So,
right.
You know.
It is there. And like you said, God takes care of the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field. And I guess we can start to worry when we see birds just falling to the ground of starvation and the flowers don't come back in the springtime. But if God takes care of those things, He'll surely take care of us.
And they've been around a while. I mean,
they have.
Thousands of years, and they've been taking care of things. And they don't come and ask us. Now, we put seed and things like that out there to kind of, you know, I was watching a bunch of them out on my back patio, and sure, we could put seed out there, but you know, the creatures that God has put in this world are lessons to us, and of course, there's a lot of references that sometimes the Lord, you know, consider the ant and consider the badger and those kind of things. But we consume ourselves with so much worry, 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 and yet God says, you know, y'all need to slow down, smell the roses, watch the birds, and just see that life is not about the worry, worry, worry that we have in this life. And a lot of people are looking for that. They,
mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of the things that we find about people, whether it's in drugs or alcohol or pleasure, those kinds of things, what they're really looking for is some kind of a peace, something that would give them happiness. And the truth of it is, none of those things are going to bring happiness. What's true happiness is going to be a peace. We all want to have peace in our hearts. We want to have peace in our life. This doesn't suggest that there's not going to be trials and tribulations or struggles, but the reality of it is, we're going to talk about tonight from the book of Philippians, and especially in the fourth chapter of Philippians, we're going to talk about how we can live with a worry-free kind of a life because it's trusting in God. You know, birds, mm-hmm. the animals, they trust in God because He's their maker, and they understand that. The problem with man is that we're so intelligent, we don't trust God. We have an animal that doesn't trust. I mean, an animal that trusts, and we don't trust, and so we need to learn how to gain that worry. Well, I believe that we have Buddy on the line, and Buddy, it's good to have you on our program this evening. This is Bible Talk.
Good. Thanks, Kent. I appreciate being called and being able to participate.
Well, I wish I could send you some warm weather, because I know that you are in Franklin, Tennessee, and it's probably not sunny and warm and all those things. That it's kind of hot down here, isn't it, Steve?
It is.
It's hot. Yeah.
It is. It's hot.
Sir. Yeah, we have to say that.
Well, that's rubbing it in, because we're not going to reach freezing today. It's below 32, and we're still trying to get out from under the ice pack.
Yeah, we're not laughing. We're just making comments about the difference. But, hey, it's good to have you with us anyway, regardless of what the weather's like. The Lord's beautiful in all of his weather, and we're just glad that you're on the program with us tonight to talk about. We've been talking about how to live worry-free, how to live with the peace of God. And, boy, isn't that important, and people need to find it.
Right. Worry is really a detriment, and I know you, Steve, let me know the text, Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Right.
And the King James says, be careful for nothing.
I like that, yeah.
The Revised Standard says, be anxious for nothing. And actually, anxiety disorders are one of the largest groups that send people to counseling. So worry can certainly be detrimental to a positive life and a positive Christian life. Certainly, it indicates to some degree, I think you might let me know if you agree or disagree. I think it sort of indicates a lack of trust in God.
Well, there are issues that have to come that we become so consumed because of our lives. I mean, we worry about, our jobs. We worry about our homes. We worry about our security. We worry about our future. We worry about so many things that, in and of itself, we need to just put in the hands of God and say, okay, I trust you. But so often we're despots that we don't, it's like one of my favorite quotes that I probably used before, but G.K. Chesterton said, the despotism is defined by loving somebody so much and trusting them so little. And we can love God so much, but I don't trust him to, take care. And so we worry ourselves to death. And God says, don't do that. Don't put yourself in a position that you're going to consume your life by worrying about things. And like you said, be careful for nothing. I think that's a great way to illustrate the anxiousness that we need to just trust in God. And it would solve a lot of problems probably in our lives.
That phrase at the end of Philippians 4 and verse 5, where it says the Lord is at hand, that doesn't mean that he's coming back soon in this context. It means that his presence is here, and he can help us now. In fact, when you go down to verse 13, that very familiar verse there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you go down as far as verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it's, yeah, you're right, Buddy and Ken. It's all about putting our faith and trust completely in God. And when we don't do that as we should, we are going to have worry and get stressed out, and it's going to strangle and paralyze us physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yeah, definitely. It often will cause people to sort of become paralyzed, if you will. And I think one thing as a family therapist I've noticed is that sometimes people have trouble giving their cares to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And as a family therapist, again, I've had to work with people and help them to learn how to turn loose of certain negative thought patterns that really develop from, if you will, worry.
Right.
And right after that, Buddy, that passage that you brought out, it talks about the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't do what verse 7 says that you just said, putting all our cares upon him, then we're going to open ourselves up for that roaring lion to devour and destroy us.
Yep. Now, Buddy, as a family therapist, what is the maybe the top issue that people really are more consumed by and worry than anything else. What's something that you have found that it just seems to be repeated more often than not?
Well, certainly working with couples, often it is lack of trust in the relationship. So certainly relationship problems is one of them. But in dealing with a broad spectrum of cases, individuals as well as couples, it can be money problems, problems in learning to get along with certain individuals at work or get along with family members even. It's a broad array of things, but right. certainly lack of trust in relationships is still high on the list. Right. And people do worry a lot about money in these difficult financial times.
Yeah. And I think that the key to our passage, and again, we're talking about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, 7, and really a number of passages in Philippians 4, that I guess we have to begin with the understanding that the Lord says, okay, here's what I want you to think about. I don't want you to be so anxious about so many things that are going to consume you that you don't, be anxious for nothing doesn't suggest I don't have to, be concerned about where my job is coming because, and my food, because as somebody said, the Lord promised to feed the sparrows. He didn't say anything about bringing it to the nest. But what he's talking about is, okay, let's get our focus where it needs to be. And I think that's a change in focus, that we don't need to keep our focus on the things of anxiety. But he says in everything, and to me that's the key to the whole passage, is that he says that it's got to be everything. You've got to give it all to the Lord, and everything, number one, by prayer, number two, by supplication. You got to do it with thanksgiving. Do what? Let your request be known to God.
Figure he'll be up all night anyway.
Yeah.
And so, but unless we're praying right, we're never going to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then verse 8, as Kent was talking about, unless we're thinking right. I certainly think of the Word of God, and if we're not in the Word of God every day, I don't think we're really going to have the kind of peace that God wants us to have.
To be overwhelming, and we're just sitting back wondering, how do they get through all of this? I mean, the problems of come, whether it's in health issues or whether it's financial or whatever it may be. We look at people and wonder, you know, they have just had so many things happen in their life. Those are people I want to go talk to. I want to say, okay, I need to talk to you and find out how to do this and what an important means by getting this kind of help. Yourself. Well, that's not what the Lord said. And that's it. That's kind of the problem, is that we're trying to find peace with ourselves, and we Scripture that God is referred to as the God of peace. One time is referred to as the God of hope. And I think that sometimes people just don't have the hope. That's why they worry. And that they don't realize that the promises of where is Paul when he's writing this epistle of joy? Where is he sitting? When he's writing about joy and not to worry, where is he at?
I think his freedoms have been very limited.
Yeah.
Right.
The man.
Along that line, as you said, this peace passes all understanding. It really is, heard people use the term, and it's not in the Bible, but they have prayed through, and the point being is they have really worked hard at praying, and they've given the problem to the Lord, and they then can go to Christian life, as well as in our emotional development, to be able to turn loose and accept when we can't change things.
Right.
So Paul's in prison, and he has all that stress on him. But how many times does he talk about joy and rejoicing in this epistle? And he's at peace. He said he's learned to be content whatever state he's in, and that includes when he's under house arrest. That's when his freedoms have been taken away from him. And how can you have that peace? Well, he knows that it's temporary. He said in the first chapter, in essence, he'd be better off dead.
Yeah.
He's on his way to a heavenly home, and he keeps that in the forefront of his mind. And I just don't see how people can go through life without worry and not have an intimate relationship with God.
There's a great quote that says, "The more of heaven there is in our lives, the less of earth we shall covet, and the less we have to worry about." And you know, we're talking about, he's writing Philippians. Now, if you have a question, I need to give the number once in a while here, I guess. Call in 259-9210 if you'd like to make a comment or maybe a question. We're talking about the challenges of worry tonight. 229-259-9210. Call in. Live program here. We're talking about Philippians. He's in jail. But you know, back in Acts 16, when he was in Philippi, he was in jail.
Right.
And he was in the inner prison. I mean, he wasn't in the outer prison. He wasn't in, you know, their prisons in the Roman times, they were like, you know, a hole in the ground. And I have always been amazed, buddy, that here these two men are, Paul and Silas. They are shackled to the floor. They're in a filthy, dirty, Roman, dark, dank prison. And it stinks. The food's lousy. The jailer looks like, you know, Shrek. I mean, the whole thing is just a mess. And they're singing. They're singing praises to God. And I got to tell you, now, I mean, I'm really thinking, I'm not sure that's what I'd be doing. I mean, that's tough when you think about it. We kind of skip over that and go on down to the conversion. But these two men were sick. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So that means that they were doing it loud enough. Wow, what kind, you know, and that's because they had heaven in them, and they thought, you know, you can chain me up, but you can't chain my soul. I think that's such a wonderful illustration about what Paul relates to the Philippians later. What a great connect about the fact that, you know, that's how we need to live. Now, you and I don't know, we might could do it with Steve, but you and I are not going to wind up in a prison somewhere in a dark, dank place. But would we be singing and praying? And that's where I think the definition of worry-free living comes from. That is some kind of a spirit to be in a Roman prison and to pray and sing hymns to God because they were thankful. And that just, I mean, it's what you said, buddy. That didn't make sense. That surpasses all understanding.
It really does. Let me read verse 8. I think that... Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that just sort of,
yeah.
As a family therapist, that is good medicine, because that means that you are not letting negative thoughts and unforgiveness, hurt, negative thoughts begin to build up that might develop into a grudge or unforgiveness, and you were on top of it. They were thinking positively. They were trusting the Lord. They were singing. That interrupts the devil being able to work on us through worry.
Right, and he will. And he would get after us at a big time. And I think the New King James uses the word meditate on these things. And it was kind of like the cow chewing the cud. We just need to chew on this thing every day. And Steve said just a little while ago, this is the day-to-day kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't wait until we're into that situation. But if we are, as you said, buddy, thinking about all these things, it just changes our whole mindset. And it helps us in the relationship with our spouse, wife, or husband. It helps us in a relationship with our children, helps us in our jobs. It just gives us a better perspective of life because we're not consumed by the things of this world because our thinking is right. We don't have a thinking problem. We've got a thinking solution.
That's right. It helps us with these relationships. In fact, I think if you go back even before what we're using as our text this evening, Euodia and Syntyche, two sisters there at the church at Philippi, they're having some differences. They're not getting along. And Paul implores them to remember the unity that they have in Christ. And that's when he gets into these things about prayer and right thinking and right living how I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is how we get through this and get rid of this kind of stress and worry and have peace, the peace that God wants us to have.
Yeah, buddy?
Well, I just think that I will point out and make a note of several clients that I've dealt with that the negative thinking had gotten the best of them. It develops into negative thought patterns, which often they become stuck in that mental pattern. It often leads to depression. Mm-hmm. It may lead to negative actions they take. And so what this lesson really, Ken and Steve, is all about is that the war that we're fighting, temptations are around about us, but the war is in our mind, and Paul is so strong in various teachings that the battle is really upstairs. Bobby Jones, the golfer, said golf is a game of distance.
Right.
And then he was a great golfer. He won the Grand Slam in 1930. He said, the distance is between your ears.
Yeah. That solves the problem of why I can't play golf. Well, that's enlightening, but you know it is. And what a great example, because it is a matter of the mind.
We can be our own worst enemy.
Yeah, and that's really what set Paul apart. And I think that what you're saying, buddy, is as well that Paul had already established and the earlier part of this letter, and I like to read this letter. But he's already said that he's pressing on. He's going towards the goal. He says, have this mind, verse 15. His mind, you know, the only thing you think about was heaven. And the more we think about heaven, the less we think about the less important things of this world. And that we don't worry so much about them. Because the reality of it is, you know, how many things have we worried so much about and they never happened, and they never really came to bear. You know, when people ask about, you know, what robs you most of the joy in your life, and he says the things that never happened. And that's what worry is. Worry is consuming ourselves with things that are not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God's already happened. His Son's already happened. I mean, heaven has already happened. The whole thing has already happened. And again, worry comes through human interference with the divine plan. That's what Paul is pointing out in Philippians 4. What a great passage. And as we've said, that you go down to verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and the glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what, John D. Rockefeller was the richest man on the earth at one time, but he ain't got nothing compared to the riches that God has got. There's nobody, you could take all the money that's ever been in the world, this. Sad thing is that God is up there in heaven, if you will, and He's looking down and He says, look, I've got all these riches I can give you. If you would stop worrying about the riches on that earth, I will give you these riches. And we say, no, Lord, that's okay. I got it covered. I'm going to take care of it down here. I'm not going to get you. And so we spend most of our life worrying about things on this earth, and the Lord says, if you only knew what I could give you. If you only knew what I could do for you. And that's a piece that, frankly, we try to understand it, but it is a piece that surpasses all understanding.
It does, and I know from experience myself, going through stressful times, that when you reach that peace by trusting and praying and being persistent, if you will, as the woman who came before the judge, It is really hard to explain, just as it does say in verse 7, it passed all understanding, but it's very quieting, very relaxing, and it's just, I guess, fully trusting at that point in time in the Lord, and you've cast it on Him, and He takes it, and He's willing to bear that burden.
Right.
Ken, I'm going to say
something. As a family therapist, one of the things that is does come back again and again, Ken, is that people, and this gets back to really sound Christian teaching, which is what this lesson is really about, sometimes people are not quite ready to forgive, and so they hold bad thoughts, negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not willing to put them, turn them over to the Lord.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad we've never done that, but but I mean, you're right, and you know, we just don't want to do that. I think you're so right, and what you point out is that's the key, that we need to let the Lord have it, give it to Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger than we are. I'd rather give it to somebody a lot bigger than me than me try to handle it. Why should I carry the weight? The Lord says, you know, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why don't we take that? And that's where the peace of God comes from. That's where the peace of God is going to give us the kind of reality peace in this life that we're going to live blessed lives because of it.
Ken, this might surprise you, but I don't believe the best welfare system is provided by our government. I don't believe it's Social Security.
Shocked. I'm just shocked.
I can tell.
You said that on live radio.
Yeah, and I don't mean to get too political here, but my welfare system is James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We can have peace because God is faithful. He's immutable. And we can depend upon him and trust in him with all. And we can bank on that.
You can bank on it. That's There's right. no government that's ever been, ever is, or really is right now, or ever will be, that'll be in the comparison to it. There's nothing. I mean, they will all try. Because, again, we go back to verse 7, and Buddy almost got to that, but he, you know, the peace of God which passes all understanding. To me, this is kind of neat. It's going to guard my heart and my mind. Now, what I've got, and don't you say nothing, but I've got a mind, and I've got a heart. Now he's laughing over it. Buddy, I heard you laugh. You know, we got a mind, and we got a heart. And to think that the army of God is surrounding it. You remember when the children of Israel were getting ready to go to Jericho, and Joshua was standing there, and all of a sudden this guy stands there, and he is the commander of the Lord's army. I mean, that just fascinates me to think about. He must have been some kind of person to look at. He says, I am the commander of the army of God. And I'm thinking, okay, he's got my back. He's got my right, he's got my left, he's standing in front of me. Because the peace of God is something that God is saying, look, here's the deal. We got these principalities, we got these powers out there, and they're coming after you. You ain't got to worry about it, because I got you. I'm going to surround you. If you trust me, I'm going to put my army around you. And the only thing you have to do is just enjoy the moment. You know, it's like, why don't we do that? It's just amazing that we will, oh no, I don't want your army. I want to, you know, guard my mind and guard my heart. Because we talked about, we have been in the book. We have knelt our, we have bent our knees in prayer, and every time the knee is bent, Satan just trembles. You know, and we have trusted in him. And it's just like I could look around and say, yeah, the commander of the Lord's army is protecting me. I have nothing to worry about. I'm not concerned about those things. Man, what a release. What a peace that passes all understanding. Have we said that already? Peace that passes all understanding. Because he's going to supply everything I need according to his riches. And I will not be left alone. I mean, the peace of God is such a wonderful thing. It's a peace. He's the God of hope. And again, that I think defines what it means to be of the God of peace. But in Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope Lord on our side. Peace is mine. Peace is mine. No peace, no God, no peace. And that's how it's got to be. I mean, great, great things. And Paul is writing from a jail. He's got a lot to argue about, but he's telling us how to be at peace. I like what C.S. Lewis said. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. You cannot have peace without God. You can't be happy without God. That's the bottom line.
Oftentimes we get so anxious about change. And I think the older I get, the more anxious I get about change. And
you must be really anxious because you're...
I'm getting out. Stable. He is stable. He's constant. He's immutable in this world that is so unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be, if we're right with him and have this peace, we will be calm during calamity. I don't care what comes our way. And, you know, you were talking about Paul and Silas in Philippi when you go back to Acts chapter 16 and the prison that they were in there and singing songs in the prison songs at midnight and how remarkable that is. But don't forget that even before they were thrown into prison that they were stripped and beaten and then cast into prison. But I do wonder what they were singing, and maybe one day I can ask them what they were singing.
Find out what it would be.
Yeah.
But you know, in verse 12, we talked about that verse as well, that he says that I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Isn't that really where the understanding of peace is that we experience those things and it doesn't matter whether we are abased or abounding, that peace comes from the reality that, you know, I'm happy if I'm abased, but I'm happy if I'm abounding.
Well, that gets back to the verse, Kent, that Steve brought out, and how many people in this life today, this busy life that we live, are content.
Right.
And I think that this gets right back to Peter writing about being content, and that that is a blessing. And I think depending on the life you live, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an older person, we have to kind of learn how to give and take with life and go with the flow and learn to be content, because so many people are trying to keep up with the Joneses, they're trying to keep up with this friend, that friend, and they're never satisfied with the many blessings they have in life. They lack contentment.
Yeah. And that's the challenge of trying to keep up with the Joneses, because I've known some Joneses that were trying to keep up with the Joneses, and I said, well, that doesn't make sense, that I thought that you were trying to keep up with them. But part of it is our materialism. Part of it is that we are coveting things. We are so worried about the things that are our stuff. And I think, again, that's where we get into our problems of worry and anxiousness, is that we worry and anxious about things that have no value to them, because we're going to leave them. I mean, you can imagine what the Pharaohs did. They worried about all of their stuff that they had, but then they died and left it. So it doesn't make any sense to have all that materialism. And we do live in a blessed land. And, sometimes we may see people in different countries and we say, oh, I feel so sorry for them. But, they're happy. They haven't got anything. And, Mother Teresa made a statement one time that if you've got something more than takes 15 minutes to move, you got too much. Well, I'm not sure I'm ready to go to that point yet. But, our stuff is what brings about our worry. Our possessions and our materialism. We've got to have this, and we've got to have that, and we've got to have this name brand. And, you walk into the cereal aisle. I mean, you can go into, shock by just trying to figure out what kind of cereal you want to buy, because we live in a world that is just given so many choices. But if we learn to be content, and of course Paul reminds us that about the problems of riches, that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain, especially because we're more at peace. Because people that don't have as much of that desire are at greater peace.
Yes, and I wanted to correct myself. I really was referring to that 1 Timothy 6:6. Paul said, not Peter, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Sure.
For we brought nothing into this world, and is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So I just agree with you 100%. So many people are influenced by materialism, what they see on TV, the lifestyle of, if you will, the...
Well, the rich and the famous and all that, yeah.
But they, sometimes it's very humbling to go back and read the poem, One Solitary Life, about how right. Christ, he actually did not have a home. He did not have a place to lay his head except what God provided day by day.
Right. And he was still taken care of, and it's not that we live in abject poverty and become a monk and live off in some places, but there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, nothing wrong with being rich, but it's a matter of the heart. We've already talked about that this really has to do with the mind. And then again, that's what's so key in this passage of Philippians 4, is that everything, even before in Philippians 3, everything has to do with our state of mind, of which state we're going to be in. And the things that we think about, the things that we wake up in the morning and we think, oh, I've got to do this, and I'm just consumed by this desire for money. And that's what he says in that text you read, buddy, those who desire to be rich. It'll get you into all kind of trouble, because you're going to worry and fuss, and then you're going to die. And the U-Haul does not follow the hearse. You can't take it with you. And so, and so many people, when they come maybe to near the end of their life, they think that, I've spent all my life worrying about all the things that I realize at this moment that are of no importance whatsoever. And that's sad, because we can see that, and we can become victims of it ourselves, because we need to be anxious for nothing. But we need to, I think the answer is if we prayed more, we would worry less. If we told God thank you a lot more, we would worry less. If we spend more time in His book, we'd worry less. You know, and it's a simple formula, but I think the more we put the book in us and the more we bend the knee and the more we say thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, it's no longer about me. It's about the God that lives in me. And it's such a serious thing. And even, you know, even God's people. I mean, we're not talking about necessarily people of the world altogether, but we're talking about God's people. There's a lot of God's people that spend their whole life worrying about everything. And the God of peace does not want us to worry. And He wants us to have, you know, as a parent, we don't want our children to have to worry about things. And, you know, my little grandson, Zeke Bradshaw, I had to lift up his name one more time. You know, he ain't worried about nothing. He doesn't worry about anything right now. The only thing he doesn't like is he does not like his diaper change. And that's about it. But that kid doesn't worry about anything. Why? Because he trusts. And
that's right.
In his grandmother and his mother, his parents. But, you know, and we need to be like a child.
We do.
Yeah.
Buddy, I was reading that worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunity with yesterday's trouble.
And I thought
that was good because, you know, if we'll just focus on the greatness of God, I believe our troubles will look so much smaller.
Yeah. Well, as Thomas Wilson said, the fewer desires, the more peace. We're our own victims. We are the agents of our own demise, and yet we can be released of that. And so we're looking at Philippians 4. We're thinking about, you know, he's talking about joy. He began this chapter by talking about the joy and crown and standing fast. One of the great blessings about being a child of God is that I can learn, and it's a learned process. I think you would agree, buddy. It's not altogether something we wake up with in the morning. But we can learn to be content, and we can learn not to live a life that is consumed by worry. We can actually go through life with peace. We can wake up in the morning with peace. We can go to work in the day with peace. And when we lay our head down at night, we can thank God for the peaceful day that we've had, because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, has guarded my heart today, guarded my mind, and it is through Jesus Christ. And I can live with that. And what a blessed life that is, to just trust in God and let Him take care of those things.
Yes, but I do think, just like you said, that it is something that has to be learned. And I will point out, from a counseling standpoint, certain personality types are more likely to be prone to worry,
sure,
than others. And for those, it's a challenge that they have to learn. Some
right.
people are more trusting by nature
right.
than others. But we have to learn it, and it's probably one of the most important lessons that we have, is to trust God.
And I think that's the nature, yeah, of the Word of God, is that it deals with everybody, every one of us at our different levels. Because, like in temptation, there are things that tempt me that don't tempt you, there are things that don't tempt you to tempt me, and vice, you know, all of that together. And the relationships that we have in our emotional makeup is so different from everybody else, but the power of the Word of God is that it deals with both of those. Now, they may have to deal with it at a different level, maybe a longer period of time, but Philippians 4 applies to everybody, whether they are more prone to it or less prone to it, the answer is still the same. The shoes fit no matter what person requires them. And it comes down to what we said in the very beginning, I think, buddy, you pointed out, is that very important word, trust. If you trust somebody, you're not going to be worrying about them. If you trust in somebody, it is confidence. And if we trust in God, we have no worries, because we know that He's big enough, and He is, to take care of whatever problem I've got in this life. And He will take care of that. So it's again a subject of trust. It's a matter of, you know, God, I trust you. I think you've, well, I don't think. I know that you are going to take care of me. And what a blessed thing that is.
I think so many people in this world I'm seeing are getting sick and tired of stressful life and all the worries of this life. And I've seen it and heard people say they want to get off the grid. They want to get away from all the stress they have. There's a show I've been watching about people downsizing to what they call tiny houses. I mean, people, families living in less than 500 square feet and they want to own their house instead of their house owning them.
Right.
People looking, you know, for solutions to get rid of worry and stress and how it cripples them. But the solution is right here in Philippians chapter 4, and that's trusting in God.
Yeah. It's not so much the size of the house we live in, it's the size of our heart, trusting in God and those kind of things. But the answer is going to be found only in the Word of God. The answer is going to be found only in what God has given. Because everybody has tried everything under the sun to find peace, but the only peace that they're going to be able to find is contained within the pages from Genesis to Revelation, there the mind of God. Buddy, it's sure good to have you with us tonight. Appreciate you taking your time out in your busy schedule. It's actually earlier for you. You're in a different time zone, but we're just proud to have you with us, buddy.
Appreciate it. And I think that what you talked about, people can read in Solomon and you know, we
Ecclesiastes, yeah.
We just realize that we're not going to find peace in this life unless we look to God.
Yeah.
And we learn in that writing of Ecclesiastes that really our first duty is to the Lord. And Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek Him first, we'll have those things we need. I appreciate it.
Yep. We're going to have you back on, buddy, and, you know, so keep you close by, and we're going to get you back on in the next number of weeks or months or something like that, so we appreciate you being here.
All right.
Buddy, my wife just got back from Tennessee. Is it true that they changed the name of the state?
Well, she
came back and she was calling it a state of an emergency. And
it's been real bad in different places. And on top of it, we had another round of ice on Friday night that has really paralyzed the Cumberland Plateau. So a lot of people, I heard, I believe it was even Sunday morning, there were 35,000 people without power, and it's not all going to be restored very quickly. So,
I live in Valdosta, and I'm not worried about it, so it's a good thing.
Don't worry about it, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having you with us tonight again, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week for another edition of Bible Talk here on 92.1 FM, and that'll be at 5 o'clock now next Monday night. And hope that you'll tune in at that time. Again, thank you so much. Have a great and a wonderful week.